The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of Bite by Bite. He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB.org. We've been talking about stigmatisms, and I mean, we've gotten through a lot of them, and now we're going to talk about a different type of stigmatism, and that is what, Michael?
Yes, we've talked about how the stigmas of food banking in terms of how people view food banks and how we view recipients of those that help. But there's actually some stigmas I'm just going to touch on for a few minutes.
Sure.
Have to do with the donors and volunteers and people who really are the stakeholders within a food bank organization.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things that right away jumps out is there's a lot of people who are afraid to come get involved in food banking work because ultimately they know they're going to be faced with people who reside in poverty. And, you know, when people go and you surround yourself with people who are culturally different, so, and I'm not talking about a racial, although it could be that element involved, but we go from a middle class norm and we kind of know all the rules of the middle class into a poverty class. And it just makes us feel uncomfortable because we feel like I don't really know how to be myself. I don't know how to maybe communicate effectively, or I've never been able to experience the world from the person I'm trying to help. And so there's this whole dynamic that I'm going to say something that's inappropriate. I'm going to say something that's going to be offensive. I'm going to be judged for thinking that I'm better than them. And so people are like, they get so worked up in their head about that, that they're just like, you know what? I just can't go get involved in that work for that reason. It's just too much for me to take on myself. It's too uncomfortable.
Those are check writers. I mean, people just write checks and say, here, take my money and use it for whatever you want. And that's as far as they go. So how do you change that? I mean, or can you change that? Obviously you want their donation, you want their money, but you also want on the other side, you've got people that really want to be engaged and involved in everything you do. They want to know exactly where every penny goes. So how do you do that?
It's just trying to bridge that gap from where they are to where we want them to be. And maybe up front, there's a little hand holding. Maybe we try to tell them, we try to coach them. But ultimately, it's about exposure. Probably most of our audience have heard about exposure therapy. Like if I'm afraid to get on an elevator, the doctor says, okay, just stand there, open up, stand on it and step back, you know, and just keep exposing yourself. And then your brain starts to tell you, well, this fear is not rational. And that's what you'll find when you're around people, because everybody's broken. Everybody's got their issues. Everybody has their challenges. But ultimately, when you peel back humanity, regardless of the class that they're in, regardless of where race is, there's these commonalities of humanity, which is we care about our families. You know, we value being able to take care of ourselves and our families. We care about our neighbors just as a whole. And that may look different in different places. We may use different languages. We may use different ways to express that, or it may manifest itself a little bit differently. But people are just people. And so just coming and being authentic and being yourself. And it's okay to say, hey, I don't have all the answers. And I don't even know. You know, you saying something and say, I don't know if this offends, or help me understand why it offends. Engage people in conversation and say, hey, help me see it from your perspective.
Well, the rule goes that if you think of something's probably going to be offensive, just keep your mouth shut, maybe ask questions later. And I think that's probably a pretty easy way to go. You know, it's interesting because you have highlighted many different stigmas just over the last couple of bite by bites. And the one that we talked about particularly that we have not spoken about on this particular show are the stigmas that people that who do give feel like they have a lot more control than they actually have. Can you talk about that stigma as well? Because you do have some people that do it for tax purposes. You have people that do it anonymously, but you also have some people that want people to know that do donate. And we take their money as well. It still spends. But can you talk about the stigmatism that comes along with some people, some pretty big heads that got some self-respect they need?
Yeah. And I will tell you, it's funny because that can actually blend over, spill over into the volunteer area as well. You'll have a guy, when I say a guy, I'm using this generically, man or woman, a person who's willing to stroke a big check the vast, I'll say 98% of the time, they're like, hey, I love what you're doing. I just want to be a part of the solution. I've been blessed. Here, I want to bless you. Use it however you think is best. And then we have some people who are like, I'll stroke the big check, but I'm going to, it's not just put some restrictions. Some people can say, hey, I want this only to go towards this program. And that's perfectly fine. And when somebody does that, we restrict those funds to be used only for that purpose. But people then feel like there's power to be wielded. Mm-hmm. And they might do a follow-up call that asks special things or exert themselves in special ways, because they know that the amount of money that they're giving, that you don't want to run the risk of. And so they kind of become a bully. I will tell you, I have run into, but it's been less than five over a 12-year period. Yeah. But I will tell you this, what I run into a little bit more often is you get a volunteer who comes in and they're like, and you realize this person is smart. They are really great at organizing things and they really want to be involved. So you give them, but then they get a system set up and it's like they guard it like a mother eagle over her nest. And you're like, I mean, you want to talk about zero flexibility. And you're like, hey, I really appreciate this so much. But we're fixing to, you know, do this to the program. We got to do this. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And we're like, well, why not? Well, because I've got it set up. This is my system. And this is, and I mean, then you're talking about having to part ways with a volunteer. And that has happened just since I've been, that happens way more than you think, where you're like, I so value your appreciation, but you've become a bigger headache than you're helping. And when that happens, I mean, I'm sorry, I gotta invite you to go volunteer somewhere else, because you're really hurting more than you're helping.
You've talked about donors, you've talked about stakeholders, you've talked about all kinds of different stigmas. Any other stigmas out there that you can think of off the top of your head?
There's a couple that just jump out at me. One is, and I hadn't really thought about this in a long time, there's some people who I think are a little concerned if they donate, especially purchasing food. Now, I'm going to tell you, if people could understand the level that of care we put into food safety and the certifications that we have, there's a national food safety certification that we have to conduct every other year. We get spot checks. Matter of fact, just yesterday, the Alabama Department of Agriculture did a spot check, unannounced spot check on us.
Wow.
Going through our warehouse. I mean, food safety, we treat it as a really big deal. But there's just like in a regular grocery store, something could be distributed that later gets recalled, or there could be problems. And some people, I think, are afraid come on a board, or you give a large, whether you're like well connected to a food bank. Well, there could be some liability issues down the road. Like if you get sued because you killed somebody from bad food, or made somebody really sick, or was part of spreading whatever it is, that there could be some actual liability part of that. I have not personally encountered that since I've been here. I've not even heard a story about that. But I know that is one of the things in the background in a few donors' minds. And then I will tell you the other thing that I see. And again, these donor stigmas are not plentiful, but they do exist. And I understand this one right here. It's when you get into when I got into the nonprofit world, I already had my view of poverty and the view of people that I was serving. And what happens is when you come in with an open mind and you're like, hey, I'm not just here to do some task. I want to understand. I want to grow as a person and have my perspective change and better understand what it is I'm doing and who I'm serving. And so when you get in there and you see the perspective from people in poverty and the barriers that we can't see from the middle class looking out, because it's not barriers that we face every day, your whole mindset begins to change and your perspective begins to change. And then what happens is then you find yourself wanting to fight the system that is not intended to create barriers, but does. And so some people are like, my emotions can't handle it. because as long as I stay out here in my little world, my little linear world, and I can, everything's black and white that I want to do. I go to work, I go home, I give money, but I really don't want to take on the challenges of our society. I don't want to get in there and find where the inequities are. I don't want to mentally have to process all of that. And where can I make those changes and expend the energy fighting that fight? But with people who get in here and care about those issues and then they see the injustices, it does move you. I have been moved to the point of tears and have cried out of frustration because it just makes no sense. I think I said this on another show, just to give the audience some context. We had a guy dropped off from in Montgomery from New York, wants to go to work, can't get a job without a state ID, but he can't get a state ID. Very first document he's got to have is a birth certificate. And he's coming to us. We're a workforce development program and wants to go to work. But he says, but I can't get a job. And so what ends up happening is without that, he works under the table. And then what happens is somebody goes, hey, I'll pay you $500 if you work for him. And then it gets to the end of the week and they're like, well, I can only pay you $150. Mm. And so what's he going to do? He can't file a complaint. There's no written documents. He can't prove that he worked for this. He can't prove what the agreement was. So that's the underground, how people get abused. Well, so we took somebody like that and said, okay, we're going to send off to New York to get your birth certificate. Well, that was a $60 charge. He didn't have that money. So somebody had to get that money. We had to wait and get it in. When we got it in, took him over to the Social Security office. And Social Security office said, well, you can't get your Social Security card without a state ID. We said, okay. So we got in the car. I drove him over to the state ID place. Well, you can't get a state ID without a Social Security card. Right. And so you see all the barriers.
Yeah.
Here's somebody who ends up in Montgomery for whatever reason, wants to go to work, wants to settle down, wants to make his own way. But there's just so many barriers from him being able to get. And most of the people that go through that just go, look, they don't have the capacity or they don't have the problem solving skills to navigate their way through it. They're like, I'm trying to be legit. I'm trying to go to work here. I'm trying to be a productive citizen, but I'm having a door slammed in my way every time. So we were able to fight some of these. And I'm like, okay, let me speak to your manager. Let me speak to your director, you know, and eventually you can do it to where you're pulling the right strings. But those are skills and connections, skill sets that a lot of people in poverty, most people in poverty don't have. They can't navigate that space alone. So I was so mad and so frustrated. And so a lot of people go, that's why I can't be in the work, because it affects me from a health perspective. My mental health deteriorates and it just affects my outlook. I become more pessimistic. I suffer from depression, all that kind of stuff. It actually affects people that way. So one of that is, I can't get involved in this work because I can't change the system. The system's broken and I care, but I can't change it. And so why go there?
There's always a way.
And I get it. I understand. Yeah. I hate it, but I get it.
There's always a way to figure it out. Great show, Michael. Michael Colin, of course, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB.org. This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.